there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Let's bow once again for a word of prayer. Lord, again, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for this season, this time of year when we celebrate your coming into this world. Lord, we are so thankful that you were willing to come. That, Lord, you died on a cross for our sins and was raised again the third day, that we could have eternal life as a free gift. Thank you for your love and mercy, your goodness, your grace. Thank you for our families, the time that we're able to spend together during this season. And I pray through this week, Lord, that you'd keep everybody safe that's traveling. I pray, Lord, that families would have wonderful fellowship together, and that most of all, we would make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ has the preeminent place in our Christmas. Lord, I ask you to bless this message, this time that we have together, and use it as only you can, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Last Sunday, I said that because it's the Christmas season, the subject of my next two messages would be the birth or the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first message, which I preached last week, was titled, Because He Came. Because He Came. And in that message, we saw that because Christ came, salvation is available. We have a sympathizing Savior. And those of us who are saved don't have to be scared of death. Now this morning I'm going to preach a second message on this subject titled, How He Came. How He Came. And this is going to be a different kind of message. It's going to combine scripture and songs, which explains why we didn't have our normal song service today. I'm going to give Brother Scott or whoever was going to lead the day off. But if you're expecting solos on my part, you're going to be sadly disappointed, okay? That's not the direction we're going in the message. But it will combine scripture and songs. I have three major points that I want to give you about how the Lord Jesus came. And after each one of these points, we're going to sing songs that have to do with the birth or the first coming of the Lord Jesus. But to get us started, we're going to have a special. So we have these two ladies. I want you to give your attention to them. They're going to play us a Christmas song at this time. Right, let's take a look here once again at our passage we read earlier, Luke chapter 2. And the first thing that I want to point out about how he came is the fact that he came humbly. The Lord Jesus came humbly. And this humility, I believe, is demonstrated in various ways. First of all, I believe it's demonstrated in his family. If you look in this passage here, verse number 4, you'll notice Joseph is mentioned. And then in verse number 5, you'll notice that Mary is mentioned. Now, Joseph was what you might call the Lord's stepfather or stepdad, because he actually had absolutely nothing to do with the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was done by the power of the Holy Ghost. So you would say that Joseph was Jesus' stepfather, and then Mary was his mother. The Bible tells us emphatically that Mary was a virgin when she conceived of the Holy Ghost. But these were his earthly parents, you would say. And from what we have recorded in the Bible, we learn that they were simple people. They weren't sorry people by any stretch of the imagination. They were good, godly people. But as far as the world is concerned, they were simple people, and they were in the lower class from what we read in the Bible. They were not wealthy people by any means. They were what you would call lower class citizens financially. This is the family that the Lord Jesus Christ was born into. And really, that demonstrates a certain level of humility, because unlike us, the Lord Jesus was able to choose the family he was born into. I have heard people many times through the years make reference to their family, and most of the time they were joking, but they'd say something along the lines, well, you can't help who you related to. Y'all heard that before? generally that's kind of a dig at their parents or maybe their extended family, and they'll say, well, you can't help who your mom and dad is or who you're related to, and don't hold that against me, that sort of thing. Well, the interesting fact about the Lord Jesus is he actually did get to choose who he was born to. He got to choose the family that he would be a part of while he was here on this earth. And when he chose a family, he did not choose a wealthy family. He didn't choose a family of nobility. He didn't choose being born to a king and some queen that was alive at the time. He chose a simple family, a very simple family, just a simple man who was a carpenter. That's what Joseph was by trade. And there's nothing wrong with being that, but you know, when you get to thinking about the prestigious jobs of the world where folks make a tremendous amount of money and that sort of thing, you don't generally put a carpenter at the top of the list. That's not one of those things that really stands out. But that's what he was by trade. And Mary, just a simple young lady. And Jesus chooses to be born into this family, this lower class family. That shows me a certain level of humility. When he could have been born to any family on earth, he chose to be born into that family. But a second way that I see this humility demonstrated is in what I call his first, F-I-R-S-T-S, his first. In the passage here, you see some of the first things that he had, some of the first things that he experienced while here on this earth. Look at verse number 6. The Bible tells us, and so it was that while they, Joseph and Mary, were there, that is, in Bethlehem, the city of David, they were there because of this taxation or this taxing that was decreed by Caesar Augustus. So they come out of Nazareth, they go to the city of David because Joseph is of the house and lineage of David to be taxed. And while they were there, the Bible says the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 5 tells us that she was great with child at this point. So at some point while they're in Bethlehem, it comes time for her to give birth. And the Bible says in verse number 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Notice where he's born at. Talking about humility. Not only could he have chosen to be born into any family, he could have chosen to be born wherever he wanted. He could have chosen to be born in the most plush palace in the world, right? You know where he chose to be born? In a cattle barn. A dirty, smelly cattle barn. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all ever had experience being around cattle and in a barn, that sort of thing? Usually the fragrance is the greatest thing in the world, right? Sometimes we get these mental pictures, these mental images of certain things that really are not in line with reality. Throughout my life, I've seen numerous pictures and different things of that nature where you have the Lord Jesus supposedly hanging on a cross. I don't know that I've ever seen one that actually depicts the way it really was. And I think sometimes our mind's view of the cross is foreign to what it really was like when the Lord Jesus was crucified and hung on that cross. And maybe sometimes because of our little Christmas pageants and Christmas plays and things that we grow up seeing, we get a picture in our mind of this little sweet, nice little place where he's born. No, he's born in a barn, okay? That's where he's born, with animals around and smells that none of us would really like to smell. That's where he chose to be born. He's born in a cattle barn. Notice his first clothes there in verse number 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes, that's long, narrow bands of cloth that you would use to wrap things, especially a newborn. He's not born and wrapped in nice, wonderful clothes. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. Just simple stuff that simple people would have. That's what he's wrapped in. He's not wrapped in fine linen, clean and white and everything plush and beautiful. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes by his mother because that's what they would have. I've noticed through the years that what a baby gets brought home from the hospital in is usually pretty important to the mother, right? Y'all know what I mean? Usually when a lady is pregnant, she's getting close to delivering, she wants to go out and she wants to pick that first outfit. And they want it to be just adorable and cute and all that kind of stuff. That's the way they like it, right? Want them to be brought home and all that. Well, you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't come in and have this real nice, expensive suit to be put on him when he's born. He's born in a cattle barn and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. Notice his first crib here. His first crib. The Bible says he was laid in a manger. Laid in a manger. Three times in the passage it says that. Verse number 7, verse number 12, and verse number 16. Three times the Bible tells us about his first crib. He's laid in a manger. You know what a manger was? It was a box or a trough that would hold food for an animal. It would hold food for an animal. So he's born in a barn, he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's laid in a manger. All of this stuff that I'm talking about here is part of what the Bible means when it tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that he made himself of no reputation. He didn't come in with all the pomp and the circumstance and all the fanfare. He came in humbly. He's born to a simple family. The first things that he experiences and has on this earth are very, very simplistic. But notice a third thing with me. He came humbly, and this is demonstrated also in what I call his flesh. The Bible says in verse number 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son. You know what he did? He takes on a human body, flesh and blood, just like every one of us. And to me, that is a demonstration of humility, because bear in mind, now the Bible says in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh, right? Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But in the very beginning of John chapter 1, the Bible tells us that that Word was not only with God, but He was God. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. Now think about this for a moment. You have the one and only true and living God, the creator of all things, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that the Bible says has heaven as his throne and earth as his footstool. You know what that is? That's a picture of a God so big that he's sitting down on the expanse of heaven and he's propping his feet up on the earth. That's a pretty big God, isn't it? That's what the Bible says about him. You read Genesis chapter 1, you see the power and the command of his voice. He speaks worlds into existence. Everything that's created is there simply because of the spoken word of this God we're talking about. He is the one that holds all things together. The Bible says that by him all things consist. We're talking about God. God. There in heaven in all of his splendor. In all of his glory, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-present God of heaven and earth and everything that is or ever shall be. We're talking about that God. And you know what he chooses to do? This God who knows no limitations whatsoever chooses to take on a body of limitations. He chooses to take on a body that would get sick, one that would get hungry, one that would get thirsty, one that would feel pain, one that could experience temptation, a body just like ours, a body that could die, a body that could bleed, a body that could suffer all kinds of pain. This God chooses to leave the splendor of heaven and come to earth and be born and just be a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. You know what that is? That's a demonstration of humility. That's God condescending to people of low estate. That's the kind of Savior, that's the kind of God the Lord Jesus Christ is. He came humbly. With that in mind, I want you now to please take your Brown hymn books. Take your Brown hymn books. We're going to sing every one out of the Brown hymn books. I want you to turn, first of all, to page number 77. Page number 77. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand because we're going to sing several songs, and I would hate to wear you out, okay? So we'll just let you keep your seat. O Little Town of Bethlehem. How many of you know this song? Most of you know this song? All right. We're going to sing all four verses, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Y'all sing out now. Over to page 79 now, page number 79. While we sing these songs, I want you to pay attention to what you're singing. Try not to get lost in the familiarity that you have with these songs. I know that we've sung these, most of us, as far back as we can remember, and it's easy to let our familiarity with them cause us to overlook the message in the song. So try to concentrate on what we're singing. I don't know why I think this, but it's kind of, in my mind, sort of a kiddie song from when I was little. But Away in a Manger, we'll do both verses, page 79.
Thank you.
right, I want us to look now at our scripture once again. We talked about how he came humbly. The second thing I want to say this morning about how he came is that he came heralded. He came heralded. What I mean is he came being proclaimed and announced by an angel. If you'll look here in the passage beginning in verse number 8 and going through verse number 14, you see that he came heralded. And there's four words that I want to give you that help explain the heralding or the proclamation of our Lord's coming. First of all is the word shepherds. Look at verses 8 and 9. The Bible says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds," the same country there around Bethlehem where they're at. "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." These shepherds are out in the field, they're there at night, and they're watching over their flock. That's what a shepherd was responsible to do. A shepherd, an earthly shepherd, was responsible to watch over his flock. The same is true of a spiritual shepherd. A pastor is to watch over the flock he has been entrusted with by the Lord. That is one of the major responsibilities he has. The Bible says he is to be an overseer. But I think about our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't the Bible say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? And I think about our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, and how he watches over his flock. The Bible says here that they were watching over their flock by night. They did it by day, they did it by night. It was a constant responsibility, a never-ending responsibility for those shepherds. They had to watch over the flock during the day. They had to watch over the flock at night. You know what it says about our shepherd, the Lord Jesus? It says that he never sleeps and he never slumbers. You know what that means? Day and night, he's always watching over his flock. The Lord's always taking notice and watching over us, meeting whatever needs we have in our lives. But the Bible says in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them," upon these shepherds, "and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." It's nighttime and this light shines all around them. I try to imagine being there and what it would be like in that type of a situation where these men are out in this field and they're probably sitting around just talking back and forth, fellowshipping, and all of a sudden this angel appears and the glory of God's all around them. And the Bible says they were sore afraid. Well, I imagine so. I expect I would have been too, amen. Scared. Shepherds are the ones who are told here about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Another word I want to give you is Savior. Look at verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." He says this because they're sore afraid. He addresses the need there. It's amazing to me how the Lord always wants to address the needs that we have in our lives. He knows every one of us better than we know our own selves. Amen. He knows right where we are. He knows what's going on in our heart, what's going on in our mind. He knows the emotions that we feel. And it's amazing how he speaks right to the needs that we have. How many times have you come to church in your life? Something going on in your mind or in your heart, something you're troubled about, thinking about, praying about. You got all this stuff on your mind. Really, maybe nobody else knows about it. Maybe just your close family members know about it. You haven't shared it with anybody, but it's real. It's there. You know it. And God spoke right to you in the message that day. Amazing how God does that. Just knows right where we are, right what's going on, and is able to speak to that very need. The angel said unto them, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be scared about. For behold, I bring you good tidings." I got some good news for you. I'm not bringing bad news. I'm not bringing evil tidings. I got some good news to tell you today. He says, "Good tidings of great joy." That's good news that produces great joy. That's what the gospel ought to do, amen? The gospel ought to bring great joy. Even if you've heard the message, even if you've heard the message a million times, it should always bring joy to your heart to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Brother Scott. I appreciate that. Maybe the rest of them will wake up in a little bit. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Here's the good news, verse number 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." I don't know where you are right now in your life, but if you needed some good news, verse number 11 is good news. No matter what's going on in your life, verse number 11 is good news this morning. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's the good news, the good tidings of great joy that there is a Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful there's a Savior. A Savior is one that saves, one that delivers. And our Savior, the only Savior, is Christ the Lord. You understand, the Savior is not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not Confucius. It's not the Pope. It's not any priest or any pastor or any preacher on this planet. The only Savior is Jesus Christ. Amen. The only hope any man has or any woman has of not going to hell is Jesus Christ. We saw last week that because he came, salvation is available. I thank God I don't have to worry about going to hell because there is a Savior and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he came, we have a Savior. And that Savior is Christ the Lord. And notice verse number 10, the very end of that verse, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I touched on it last Sunday, but it's worth talking about again. One of the greatest things about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is that it's for everybody. It's to all people. It's not just to certain people. It's to all people. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. It doesn't matter their social standing. It doesn't matter what they have, what they don't have. It doesn't even matter the things that they have going on in their life now or perhaps things they've done in the past. The gospel is for everybody. Anybody that needs a Savior, there is a Savior, and his name is Christ the Lord. The only way for anybody to miss hell and gain heaven is Jesus Christ. Amen? No man comes to the Father but by him. Here's a third word I want to give you. Not only the word shepherds and Savior, but the word sign. Verse number 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The Jews require signs, so God deals with them along those lines. He says, "Hey, I know you're going to need a sign. Here's your sign." Here it is right here. When you get there, you're going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Here's the fourth word, and that's the word suddenly. Verse number 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host." These are angels according to verse number 15. A multitude of heavenly hosts. What are they doing? Praising God. Why are they praising God? Because he sent a Savior. Amen. That's why they're praising God. Because he sent a Savior. Praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. That is where he is. He's in the highest. And they're saying, glory to him. Why? He sent a Savior, that's why. Glory to God this morning. He sent a Savior. Thank God. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We talked last week about how the Lord didn't come to bring condemnation. He even said that he didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So he came with goodwill toward men, and these angels on this occasion are praising God for what he has done. With that in mind, I want you to take your hymn books again with me, and I want you to open them first of all to page number 78. Page number 78. Y'all know this song? All right.
Angels we have heard, oh my, sweetly singing on the waves, and the mountains here.
Turn to page 70, page number 70. This is one of my favorite Christmas songs because of the message that is in the song. It's a very, very biblical song. I want you to pay close attention as we sing now. Hark the herald angels sing. Very quickly, let me give you one more thing about how he came. Look once again with me, please, at Luke chapter 2. He came humbly, he came heralded, and last of all, I want to say he came hunted. He came hunted. We know from other scripture, Matthew's account, that he was hunted later on by the wise men. They came to present their gifts to the Lord. We also know that he was hunted by King Herod, who wanted him dead. But we find here in Luke chapter 2, the first to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ were these shepherds. The Bible says there in verse number 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." You see that they sought him immediately. They didn't want to waste any time. They didn't want to wait till later. They wanted immediately to go and see the thing which had come to pass. Then in verse 16, "And they came with haste, they sought him hastily, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." The Bible says, "Those that seek me early shall find me. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to immediately, hastily seek out the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. You don't need to put it off. You don't need to wait till a better time. Right now is the best time, because this is the only time you're guaranteed of. This could very well, very possibly, be the last church service that you're ever in your life. Before the sun goes down today, you could be out in eternity. It doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how healthy you are, this could be your last day on this planet. And if you leave this world without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will not go to heaven. Be like these shepherds and seek him immediately, hastily. Then as I close, I want you to look at verse number 17. The Bible says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What was told them concerning the child? What did the angel say to them? Look at it one more time, verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the message they were told. The Bible says in verse number 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know what that means? It means that they went out and spread the good news that there is a Savior. That is the responsibility of the people of God, to let this world know there is a Savior. With that in mind, we're going to sing just a couple of more songs and we'll be done. Turn to page number 72. There's a couple of more songs and we'll be finished. Page number 72. And then we'll look right across the page and we'll end with 73. Page number 72. This last song, I do want to ask you to stand. This is going to be our invitation hymn this morning. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, right now while we sing, I want you to come. And I want you to have that personal relationship with Him that He wants you to have. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Won't you come this morning if you don't know Him and trust Him as your Savior? Let's sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Let's save people. Bear in mind, this is our responsibility right here. All God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. I do appreciate your presence, your attendance. And I did things that way because I wanted it to actually seem like we had been to a Christmas service this morning where we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope all of you have a wonderful, holy, happy Christmas. If you're going on the road, please be safe. Take care of yourself. And Lord willing, we'll be back next Sunday at our regular appointed time. Let's bow our heads. We'll be dismissed. Brother Jimmy, would you dismiss us, please?